The Salt Lake chapter of the BYU Management Society every year provides scholarships to several students in the northern Utah area. Ava Van Morlehem is one of the recipients for 2021. She's attending BYU Idaho. She graduated from Stansbury High School with a 4.0 GPA. During her senior year, she was president of the National Honor Society, president of the Seminary Council, and vice president of the Stansbury High School Orchestra. She started a recycling program at Stansbury High School and served as a representative for Life's Worth Living Foundation to help educate her classmates about depression, anxiety, and suicide prevention. Ava wrote, From a young age, I've tried to be involved in my community. From 4-H club, cleaning the church, picking up trash, taking piano lessons, teaching youth track, or participating in school, sports, and clubs. My community and my education has given me so much. To give back, I dedicated myself to excellence, giving my best in all that I did. From a young age, I knew I wanted to attend college. What I didn't know was how I'd be able to afford getting there. Thank you, BYU Management Society, for recognizing my efforts and my potential by helping me to afford to further my education. With your help, I can give back to my community the way they gave to me. And Ava recently followed up, kind of gave me an update of what she's doing right now. So she wrote, "I absolutely love BYU Idaho. I couldn't see myself anywhere else. The people, the culture, the spirit, I love it all. I can honestly say that I've never loved learning more in my life, and I often find myself thanking the Lord for His mercy in getting me here. I couldn't do what I'm doing without the scholarship I received and the support I've had from so many teachers, friends, and others along the way. I've discovered life callings and hidden passions studying here at BYU Idaho that wouldn't have otherwise been possible." So, if there's two ways that you can get involved in this, financially you can go to the BYU Management Society website, Salt Lake Chapter, there is a link where you can donate to support the scholarship fund. And then if you really want an opportunity to learn about the rising generation, you can contact me and I can help you get involved with helping get the word out that these scholarships are available, and then you can help select scholarship winners, which is, I can promise you, it restores your faith in the rising generation, because there are a lot of good young people that apply for these scholarships.
Perfect. Thanks, Steve. And I can attest to what he said. Reading those applications warms your heart. There are a lot of good people, and we help those in need. The scholarship is typically based on either need-based and or community service. So we have a formula where we kind of combine those two things to get to the bottom line. Thank you again, Steve, for your service and help with the scholarships and for that highlight. We'll now turn the time over to Dave Austin. He's going to introduce our speaker, and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, it is my privilege to introduce Nick Greer. Nick is a born entrepreneur. He started selling baseball cards to his classmates when he was 10 years old, mowed lawns for his neighbors, and maybe sold fireworks to neighborhood kids when he was a teenager in Arizona. He has been interested in all kinds of business and helping others his entire life. After serving an LDS mission in Romania, Nick finished a degree in finance at Brigham Young University and became a huge fan of BYU football and basketball. He taught over 2,500 students entrepreneurship and shared his passion for building a business while he was an adjunct professor at the Y. One of Nick's first businesses was technology and marketing company he started in 2002 called One-on-One Marketing. With over 7,000 websites and domains, he built one of the fastest growing companies in the state of Utah. He later sold the company to two private equity groups. Greer Co. was formed soon after and focuses on business and real estate investments. Currently, Greer Co. owns and funds over 24 businesses, thousands of multifamily units, corporate buildings, storage facilities, barns, rental properties, a gorgeously restored flour mill, and more. Some of these businesses include Skipio, a customer messaging platform with a strong lead nurturing capability, and Built Bar, a low-calorie, high-protein bar that tastes like candy and is taking the country by storm. Giving back has always been important to the Greer family. Nick and his wife, Deborah, created the 512 Foundation that provides a weekend meal backpack that feeds thousands of children in his community every week. Over 50,000 bags of food will be provided to kids this school year. One of Nick's favorite things in the world is his family. He and his wife have 7 good-looking and hard-working kids. I think he snuck that one in there. Who Nick loves to travel and spend time with. And I just have to say, on a personal standpoint, this is our first luncheon back since, I don't know if anybody remembers, but March of 2020, where we had Dean Madrian from the BYU Marriott School of Management that came and spoke. And it's crazy that we're back here after 20 months. And I said that to Nick, and Nick said to me, "What are you doing having me be the first speaker back?" But let's please all give a round of applause to Nick Greer. Thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you. Wow. I mean, talk about pressure. When they told me that 20 months, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That's absolute desperation if you have me speaking. And I think this podium is actually made for people who are 5'2". So I'm just going to go ahead and lean into it like I really want. Is that Dave Norton right there? Oh, my gosh. And Randy? And Darren? Holy cow. The table. Is that Ty? Is that Dabo right there? Is that what I'm seeing? Wow, okay, now the heat is on. Now that I see some of my very best friends back there and so grateful for them and so grateful for what they've done in my life and what they added, each of those men at that table have helped me become who the Lord wants me to become, but I'm far, far from it. You know, it's been interesting now that I look back and I look into your eyes. I actually prepared 4 different presentations, and I didn't know why. And there was absolute just hesitation every single time. And I sat there and I thought, why in the world, Heavenly Father, is this so difficult? Last week, I presented to about 300 high school leadership students up at Utah State, and it was a piece of cake. There's only about 50 of you in here, and it's an intimidating experience. But I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I think, you know, it's interesting in life, the Lord is always calling audibles. And the Lord, as you're listening to him, he's always calling that audible. And you have to say, why in the world are you calling that right now? Well, I believe he's calling an audible, and he's saying, the talk that you wrote down, you need to give. So I'm going to talk about that, and I may even scrap all these slides. Because at the end of the day, there's a message that needs to be heard, and maybe it's just one individual that needs to hear it. And maybe that one individual is myself. And so bear with me in a selfish way as I read this, as we speak and we learn together today, maybe I need to learn something that I hasn't been learned thus far in my life. A few weeks back, I was being interviewed on the radio where the interviewer, he warned me by saying, "All right, we're going to start this interview off with the spitfire questions in 60 seconds to get to know you in a short period of time." I said, "All right, bring it on. Let's go." He said, "Here we go. You ready? Let's go." And he said, "All right. Okay, Star Trek or Star Wars?" I'm like, "Star Wars with no, like absolute no effort," I replied. "Water skiing or snow skiing?" He asked me. With no hesitation, I answered, "Snow all the way." He then shot at me and said, "Favorite word?" The first thought came to my mind, "Let's go." But that would be 2 words, and I said it anyway. And with a surprised look on his face, proceeded to ask, "Least favorite word?" "Popular." I belted it out so quickly it seemed to catch him off guard a bit. I've had time to reflect upon that for the last several weeks and think some more on why these words were the first ones that come to my mind. And out of my mouth, "Popular." A word that has always seemed to rub me the wrong way. Maybe it dates to being picked last for the kickball team in elementary school. Or maybe it was those days of high school where those kids who thought they were popular and maybe not the kindest to others around them left a sour taste in my mouth. Our kids know that this is a word not to utter in our home, especially when they are trying to sell their mom and dad on new clothes or a new phone, especially if it's a smartphone. You come into our home, we don't have smartphones, and I'm telling you to this day, we are the worst family to some of my kids ever because they all have Gab phones. But I love Gab. I love that phone. And I'm so grateful for it. Or other things that kids of their age might have. Popular is a very unpopular word in the Greer household. Things that are popular can be a distraction. Even those of the world and popular in the sight of man can be a distraction for all of us being focused on the things of the Lord. Could we liken these worldly distractions to those in Lehi's dream? There we are, firmly affixed on the iron rod down the covenant path, our hands grasping on, and then we hear and see those words and see those, quote, mocking and pointing their fingers from the great and spacious building. It's not that we intend to do so, but sometimes we poke our heads around and possibly out of curiosity and even laziness want to see what all the commotion is all about. We may even let go to get a better view and a front row seat to the noise around us. Others may fall away entirely because of those that were scoffing at them. The Savior cautioned us to take heed, lest at any time our hearts be overcharged or overcharged with cares of this life. Modern revelation reminds us that many are called, but few are chosen. They are not chosen because their hearts are set upon the things of this world and aspire to the honors of men. Assessing our lives gives us an opportunity to step back from the world, reflect on where we stand on the covenant path, and if necessary, adjustments to ensure a firm grip and a forward gaze. President Gordon B. Hinckley said, and I quote, "The pull gets even stronger. The adversary is clever and subtle. He speaks in a seductive voice of fascinating and attractive things. We cannot afford to let down our guard. We cannot afford to drop the ball. We need not run the wrong way. The right way is simple. It means following the program of the church, bringing into our lives the principles of the gospel, and never losing sight of what is expected to us as sons of God, with a great inheritance and a marvelous and eternal potential." End of quote. Let's go. Two simple words. Three if you get technical. That you hear so often in sports and at home and in all facets of life. There is a sense of immediacy, a sense of urgency, and a sense of it's time to move and move now. It gets the heart rate moving and the adrenaline pumping. Can you remember as a child lining up for a race? Or one person would stand on the side of those who were ready to race with their arm raised high to the sky and belt out the words, "On your mark, get set, go." Just saying those words right now, it makes me a bit nervous and a little antsy. On your mark, are you in position? Are you pointing in the right direction? Are you in the right lane? Hey, are you even in the right race? Being on the mark takes effort. It takes energy. Sometimes even getting out of bed for the day can seem like the biggest task you can accomplish. Being on the mark can at times seem daunting or even impossible. Is it really worth it? You may ask yourself at times. It's not about being on others' mark, but the race you are running in about on your mark. It's about keeping an eye focused and single to the glory of God, putting Him first in all things and in all ways of life. Can this seem overwhelming at times? Absolutely. And that is okay. But what is needed of you and for you is to be in the race and on your mark. Unwavered, grasping, in fact, clinging and holding on to that iron rod. President Joseph F. Smith proclaimed, and I quote, "The greatest achievement mankind can make in this world is to familiarize themselves with divine truth so thoroughly, so perfectly, that the example of conduct of no creature living in the world can ever turn them away from the knowledge that they have obtained." End of quote. Get set. The blood is now for sure moving quickly through your veins. My question to you is this: are you set? Are you ready for what is about to come? Do you feel the urgency of the great work that is right in front of you? Do you have the courage to jump into the cause of Christ and be a little different than what the world may want you to be, even, maybe even a little unique to what may be popular in a worldly sense. Let us not be the ones President Kimball talked about when he said, and I quote, "There will be no general warning to the membership of the church that things will be shortly falling apart. We have been commanded to follow the signs of the times, and that all the warning we need or will be given, but the membership is asleep like the 10 virgins. We have been commanded to watch and prepare. But like the people in the days of Noah, many members have become logged into a sense of security. The lack of warning is designed to weed out the tares, the all is well in Zion crowd. When the cry sounds, there is no time for preparation," end of quote. Wow. Think about it. Well, right now, are you in the correct lane? Are you in the correct lane, Nick? Are you in the right race, knowing the Lord is on your side? You are firm and solid and ready to take on the race that lies ahead. You are steadfast and immovable and ready for the gun to sound. You are ready to fight and ready to go. You are as Paul admonished, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." End of quote. Go. There is no time to drift, to come slow out of the blocks. It is time to go and allow the Lord to lead each of us. The gun has sounded, and we are moving, and moving ever so quickly. There is no time to waste. We will waste none of it. Let us labor diligently. For if we cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have labor to perform, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. D. Todd Christofferson said so boldly to the men of the church, and I would add this for the members of all members, men, women, and children. And I quote, "We who hold the priesthood of God cannot afford to drift. We have work to do. We must arise from the dust of self-indulgence and be men. It is a wonderful aspiration for a boy to become a man, strong and capable. Someone who can build and create things, run things. Someone who can make a difference in the world. It is a wonderful aspiration for those of us who are older to make the vision of true manhood a reality in our lives, to be models for those who can look to us for an example." End of quote. I will go and do the things the Lord has commanded. For I know the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them. On your mark, get set, go. In order for us to go, we must be ready to listen and hear he is commanding us to do. Brothers and sisters, might I be so bold at this time and tell you, there is no more time to waste. We are in the go period, and the Lord has charged us all to gather his flock, to gather Israel. He commanded us to be a Zion people, to be of one heart and of one mind, to establish Zion in our homes, in our wards, and our stakes. We must rise to the standard. It will be necessary, one, to become unified in one heart and one mind. Two, to become individually and collectively a holy people. And three, to care for the poor and the needy with such effectiveness that we may eliminate poverty among us. We cannot wait until Zion comes from these things to happen. Zion will come only as they happen, Elder Christofferson so perfectly said. He is speaking to you at this moment. The Lord is speaking to you through the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, pricking your heart, feeding your soul, and prompting you along the way, this journey we call life. He is calling you out, asking you, In fact, he's pleading with you and commanding you to follow him. Ask yourself, what more can I do, Lord? What is it thou needest of me? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to see? Who is in need of thee today who I can help comfort at this time? What would you have me to say? This is not a time of letting go of the rod. This is a time to yell from the rooftops, let's go. Let us go together. Let us go to the house of the Lord together. Let us go gather Israel. Let's go and build Zion. Let's go and feed the poor and the needy and clothe the naked. Let's go bring the fullness of the gospel to our neighbors and to all of our friends. Let's go and stand for truth and pure righteousness. Let's go and be different and be unique. Let's go do this together as families and as brothers and sisters. Let's go is my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.